Praise God. If they ever set it up, they set it up. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to do something before I get into the word of the Lord. And could you get me an offering basket, Brother Ramos or Brother Mondo Juarez? And you don't have to. You guys can play a little something. But my daughter's fixing to go on a 16-day trip to Israel. And she's leaving on Saturday. Amen. And some have already blessed and some have asked how they could bless. And we're just going to do it right now real quick. And if you want to, you can. If you don't, that's okay. But I want to bless this little girl. She's amazing. She's anointed. She's taking a trip that I'd really love to go. One of these days I'll go. It's on my bucket list. 16 days, she's going to go to Egypt, then she's going to go to Canaan, and she's going to Israel with Brother Haney at Stockton Christian Life College. We're looking forward to that. But if you could bless her, you'd like to bless her, we're going to do that real quick. They're going to play. Amen, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Wait on you, Jesus. Jesus, wait on you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Thank you so very much. And I'm praying that God will multiply it into your life and your family and into your finances. When you start giving, God starts taking notice. And I want to thank you for doing that. And looking forward to my daughter, I told her, I said, here's how I'm going to get to go to Israel. You're going to video everything. I said, you video all those spots, and I could say, I remember what that looked like. Hallelujah. And y'all are going to get the videos and all of that. So we're going to Israel. You didn't even know that yet. Amen. We're going to Egypt. We're getting out of Egypt. We're going to go to Canaan, and then we're going to Israel. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Thank you, music and music team, and all of those that have labored. You've set the tempo for what I believe the Lord is going to talk to us tonight. And 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 24 through 29. Bible says, and they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee, and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamathcoth. That's a mouthful right there. Selah Hamathcoth. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds at Engedi. I want to talk to you on that word, that big word, that word we can't even pronounce. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I need to know the meaning of Selah Hamathcoth. Hallelujah, that's it. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. You say that 10 times, you may get the Holy Ghost today. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. When you have God on your side, He will always take care of you. When you allow God to take over, He can do what no man could ever do. Can I tell you, like that song says, there is nobody greater than God. There is nobody stronger than God. There is nobody like our God. For heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. You can't compare God to anything because God is greater than everything. Isaiah penned it with these words in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 12. He says it like this: Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him in knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold, and casteth it silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told from you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to him that hath no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I tell you again? There's nobody like Him. There's nobody like God. You could put your trust in Him. You could put your hope in Him. You could put Him to the test. He will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. He'll never walk out on you. He'll never forsake you. You can trust in Him. Oh yeah, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. And can I go a step further? That this battle that you're in is not yours. This battle that you're fighting or trying to fight, it does not belong to you. No, this battle is not mine, but this battle belongs to Him. Oh, you want to clap your hands and you want to raise your voice to a God that is fighting your battle. So why should I fear? And why should I worry? And why should I allow stress and anxiety to rule my life? It has got to go. Like that woman said, ain't nobody got time for it, because it does not belong in my life. Why? Because my God is greater. He's greater than my trial. He's greater than what I'm up against. He's greater than all the hurts and all the pains that try to rule my life. God is greater.
And the best part about it is he faints not. He never gets weary. He gives me strength. He gives me power to overcome it all. He is greater than what I'm up against. And what we need on a Sunday night is we need a new revelation of who God really is and what God can really do. Because that problem that you're facing may seem insurmountable, but not with God. That's why he said in his word, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Nothing's too big that he can't handle. Nothing's too great that he can't solve. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater. Somebody ought to shout that, my God is greater. Greater than my trial. Greater than what I'm up against. My God is greater. Greater than the pains in my body. Greater than the doctor's report. My God is greater. Greater than my bank account. Greater than my dilemma. My God is greater. You got to say that when you wake up in the morning. My God's great and greatly to be praised. I don't care what you just faced and what you're just up against, understanding that fact that he's great and greatly to be praised begins to take care of everything else in your life. That's why David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. When you begin to magnify him and you begin to enlarge him, everything else around you begins to diminish and get smaller. That problem that once seemed so big, that problem that once seemed there was no hope in sight, now when you begin to magnify God and you begin to worship him, then all the problems begin to vanish. All the pain begins to subside, because the only thing that you're involved in now is getting God as great as he possibly can. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I guess what the Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be praised. You can't exhaust that subject, because there is a God that is worthy of your highest praise every day of the week. Every moment, every second, God is greater. Somebody shout, my God's great. Why don't you look at that person next to you and just get your preacher voice out and say, my God is great. Come on, say it like you believe it. My God is great. That should get you excited. That should make you clap your hands. That should make you run. That should make you shout. That should make you leap. Because when you realize how big God is and you realize that, he comes into your situation and he makes a way where there seemed to be no way. That's why we understand that when we begin to praise God, we may not have that much strength in us. But when we begin to praise God, his word says, I inhabit praise. I dwell where there is praise. I abide where there is praise. Your lender can't help you. Your landlord can't help you. The one that holds your car note can't help you. But I've got a God that can. You say, Pastor, I don't have any money in the bank and all the bills that are due. I understand that. Pastor, I've got aches and quakes in all throughout my body. I understand that. We can make every excuse why we can't. We could tell all the reasons of why we can't just worship God. I heard Brother James, even before service began, he said, did you see Sister Anna? She wanted to come to church. She wasn't feeling 100%, but she wanted to come. Why'd she want to come? Because she wanted to get praise on. Because when you get praise on, God says, I'm going to show up there. Your landlord can't show up there. Your mortgagee can't show up there. But when you begin to praise God and you begin to worship Him, He begins to make a way. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands. Somebody ought to lift your voice, because there really is a God that can bring you out. Praise God. Samuel chapter 26. We find David on the run. We find him and his men running from Saul. You read it. David's mighty men. In Samuel chapter 26, they were fearful. These mighty men of war and mighty men of valor, they lifted up their voice in this chapter and they were saying, David, we're afraid to be here because Saul was after them. And we know the story. We know that Saul was after David because of pride and jealousy that grabbed a hold of Saul. And Saul is looking to take David out, all because Saul was envious over David. All because the hand of the Lord was on David and no longer on Saul. The favor of God is on David's life. And Saul hears it in the streets that Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. And instead, Brother Reuben, of rejoicing that God is raising up another generation, instead of thanking the Lord that the hand of God was on David's life, Saul's jealousy and Saul's pride was eating him up inside. It was a poisonous venom flowing throughout his veins, and he could not shake it because Saul was only worried about one thing. Saul was worried about Saul. And Saul was worried about his throne. And Saul was worried about his position to the point, you read it in chapter 25, that it got a hold of Saul so bad that he goes and kills 85 priests. Saul put to death 85 preachers because of jealousy, all because of pride. Can I tell you, when God starts to bless somebody, when God starts to use somebody, when God starts to anoint somebody, we better be careful and not allow a spirit of competition to creep in. I don't care if they're singing the same song you sing. I don't care if they're playing the same instrument you're playing. I don't care if they're preaching the same sermon you preached and they do everything you do. You better not allow a spirit of competition to ever get a hold of you. We better be careful and not allow a spirit of jealousy to grab a hold of us. We better be careful and not allow pride to get inside of us. I don't know about you, but I thank God for people that can go higher than I can. I thank God for people that can sing better than I can. And I know that's not saying a lot. You know Pastor's heart and I love to sing. I heard Brendan again and I heard Andrew again. I'm like, wow. I wasn't blessed with that. And I could sit there and suck my thumb and get mad and get jealous and let pride get a hold of me because God didn't decide to use me in the area of my vocals. But I've got to be happy that God will anoint another generation, that God will allow somebody else to sing even though I can't sing. I don't know about you, but I thank God for people that can lead better and preach better and administrate better. Why? Because I'm not in competition with anybody. Why? Because this is not my kingdom. This is God's kingdom. this is not my ministry. It's God's ministry. And we ought to pray, Lord, bless my brother. Bless my sister. Let your favor rest on them. Let your anointing rest on them. Use them. Anoint them. Multiply their finances. Heal their bodies. Restore their families. Why? Because we are a family. And we ought to weep with those that weep. But we ought to rejoice with those that rejoice. Why? Because we're a family. And we need to celebrate those that God begins to bless and that those that God begins to elevate. It does not make you any less. There are, I say it all the time, but there are no big I's and little U's in this kingdom of God. The disciples thought it was when they're sitting at the Last Supper and they, Jesus, the Last Supper. You would think it'd be reverent. You'd think it'd be holy. You'd think they'd just be on all those clouds and just floating. The Bible said two disciples asked the Lord at the Last Supper, tell us, Lord, who's going to be greatest in your kingdom? Who's going to sit at this seat? And who's going to have that seat? And I don't care about that. I believe the Lord said something like, I will bless those that bless others. And I will curse those that begin to curse those that I blessed. You better be careful the words you speak against a brother and a sister. You better be careful what you harbor inside of your spirit. The Bible talks about it. He can't handle those that cause division among the brethren. Oh, I just need to tell so-and-so about it because I want, could you pray about it? Could you pray for them? Why don't you go to them and talk to them alone? As I'm telling you, the way God begins to bless is if we start blessing those he blesses. If we start praying for somebody else's son, guess what God's going to do? God's going to bless our son. We start encouraging somebody else's daughter. God starts sending somebody else to encourage your daughter. We get what we give out. Give, and it shall be given unto you. It was not just talking about the area of your finances, but it was talking about everything you give. I don't know about you, but I'm going to need mercy one day. I'm going to need grace one day. I'm going to need forgiveness one day. And I've got to give it out. So if I don't give out mercy, it doesn't come back to me. And if all I give out is judgment, judgment comes back to me. Let me be a giver, God. Let me be a giver, God. I don't need anybody else to pat me on the back. I don't need anybody else to say, hey, I'm thankful that you did this and that because I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for God. We got to get a hold of this. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my kingdom, but thy kingdom. Be a blessing to somebody else. But Saul, he couldn't let it go. He wanted to kill David. He wanted to destroy David. He wanted to take the man of God out. He wanted to take David out. Why? Because David was a threat to him. And David had the favor and he had the anointing of God. And Saul has just killed 85 preachers. And now he's after David. And the Bible states, in verse 25, Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David, and it's been on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. Saul was all around David. Over 3,000 men with Saul. And Saul had compassed David. And David only had 600 men. And they were positioned to take David out. The enemy, the adversary, was all around David, and there was no hope in sight. The anointed, the favor, the hand of God on David, and yet the enemy and the adversary and the naysayers and all of those that sought to kill him and take him out, they were all around him. And yet God begins to work. I love that song we sing, Waymaker. It makes me want to sing. I sing anyways. I sing to the point that some say, you're not on tune. I say, I don't care. You ain't singing it. And maybe I may miss some words. I don't care about that either. Because I'm singing it for God. Gets a hold of you. Because I believe somewhere in the Waymaker, it says, even though I can't see him, he's working. Even though I can't feel him, he's working. He's a way maker. And David's there. The enemy's around. And yet the way maker, God, begins to make a way. He begins to help David even though David could not see it. Bible says in verse 27 that God sends a messenger to Saul. And there came a messenger to Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. When all hope seemed to be gone, and it seemed like there was no way out, there was a God that made a way of escape. God came through in the midst of the battle. And verse 28, the Bible said, wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, they called that place Selah Hamathcloth. And you look up that meaning, just the very beginning of that Selah. You know what that means. Because David used it more than 74 times in the book of Psalms. What does Selah mean? To wait. To pause. They sang it right before I preached. Waiting on the Lord. It means to pause. It means to take a time out and just wait. When all hell is coming against you and it seems like you are being attacked on every side and you don't understand it and you can't comprehend it and you can't explain why you're facing what you're facing and why you're going through what you're going through. Can I just tell you tonight, don't get in a hurry, don't get in a rush, and don't try to manufacture and do something else. It's at that time when all hell is coming against you that you've got to learn to pause. You've got to learn to wait. To wait on him. We can't do it, but God can. I'm telling you, it's a time for you to learn to wait, because the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody lift up your voice right now. Hell's trying to attack you. Hell's trying to take you out. There are things that have been coming against you. There are attacks you can't even write down. Why in the world you're going through this? I'm telling you, it's not a time to get in a hurry. It's not a time to make a rash decision, but it's a time to wait on God. It's a time to throw our hands in the air. It's a time to worship him and praise him and let him abide with you. And when we do that, God begins to do the work. Come on, it's a time to wait and let God open that door. It's a time to wait and let God begin to work. It's a time to wait and let God loose the shackles. It's a time to wait and let God arise and the enemies be scattered. Somebody lift your voice right now. Somebody worship God right now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can't do it, but God can. Wait. was. Look at the rest of that word. Hamakoth. Crazy word, I know. Hard to pronounce. In Bible college, they told you to put words together that were easy to understand. Because we're just sheep. I'm sheep. But Hamakoth, how many times do we read stuff in Scripture and we just kind of scoop by? Times we're just busy? Times it doesn't stick out to you? Nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to condemn you. But how many of you ever kind of breeze past a word or breeze past genealogies or breeze past something you had no idea what it was? Or you're reading and your mind's on something else. I know that's never happened to you. But I found this word and I said, what in the world? What does this word Hamakoth mean? I know what Selah means, but what does Hamakoth mean? I'll tell you what it means. The cliff of escape, or the rock of escape. And when you wait on him, when you just take a time out from the throes of the battle, and you wait on him, he, God, will make a way of escape. He will be the rock of escape. He will be that cliff of escape for you and for your family and for your health and for your finances and for everything that hell has thrown your way. There is a God that makes a way of escape. Isaiah penned it with these words: when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You just wait on him. He's your way out. He's your way of escape. Lift up your voice. Raise your hands towards heaven. You may not even be able to pronounce it, but Selah, Hamakoth, Selah, Hamakoth. I realize it seems like the attacks are coming from all over, but if you'll just pause, God will turn it around. Lift up your voice with me. Oh, lift up your voice with me tonight. He's your way out. He's your way of escape. Let God fight this battle for you. Let God begin to unfold that rose in your life. Get your eyes off that problem. Get your eyes off that trial. Get your eyes off that circumstance. Get your eyes off the naysayers and all those that say there's no hope in sight, and throw your hands up and worship God. Come on, you just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I will not let this thing take me out. I will not let this thing overcome me and my family. I'm going to step back and let God step in. Oh, would you lift your voice up for the Holy Ghost in this house? Oh, I feel the breath of heaven here tonight. Huh? Come on, he said, your strength comes when you learn to wait. Your help comes when you learn to pause. Oh, somebody lift up your voice right now. Somebody ought to connect to a God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm preaching to somebody. It's time to come out of this. It's time to activate your faith. It's time to connect with heaven. Shatarakaya torasata. Sharayara korasi. Won't you lay a hand on that person next to you? And won't you pray for that person next to you right now? Won't you just bless that person next to you? I know you need something. I know you need God to come through. But why don't you pray over them? And I pray you'd elevate them. I pray you would anoint them. I pray your favor would rest on them. I pray you'd bless their home. I pray you'd multiply their finances. Come on. Come on. Somebody activate faith right now. I know you can't see it. I know you can't feel it. But there's a God that's working. There's a God working behind the scene. Sila Hamlakov. He is your way of escape. Sharakayato. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet right now? Why don't you just worship him? Why don't you magnify him? Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor, I can't see it. Pastor, I can't feel it. Activate faith. Walk out on uncharted waters. Put God to the test. Why don't you step out from where you are? I don't know what you're up against. I don't know how hell has attacked you or attacked your body or your mind or your family or your finances or whatever it is. But I challenge you, as you step out of that pew, begin to activate faith and just make up your mind. If I could just touch him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just get close to him, if I could just put it in his hands. If I could just let go of the reins and let God take over. Come on. Lift up your voice in this house. Sharakayato. Come on, there's a turnaround fixing to happen in your life. There's a turnaround fixing to happen in your family. There's a turnaround fixing to happen in your ministry. Hallelujah. The God of the turnaround. How about I feel something beginning to move in this house? I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the healer in this house. I feel the peace speaker in this house. Sharakaya torasi. Harakaya toraya rayanda yasi. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Let a roar go forth. Let heaven hear. Come on, you're coming out of this. This will not bind you any longer. You're coming out of this. Sharakayato. Sharakorasi. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, get lost in it. Come on, get lost in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, be healed. Shora kaya taya so. Come on. He's healing right now. He's healing right now.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you.
Oh, yes, God. Yes, God.
I worship.
I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come on, that's it.
You are
Hallelujah.
Here,
Hallelujah.
Healing every heart.
Hallelujah.
I worship you.
Come on, let him turn it around.
I worship you.
He's your way of escape. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. He's working. He's working. He's working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, God.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
Come on, don't stop. Oh, don't stop. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Sharakaya tayaso. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's the Holy Ghost. Yes, that's the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for somebody. Lay a hand on somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, that's a refreshing right now. Refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. when we learn to slow down. We learn not to get in a hurry, but truly wait on Him. He begins to open up stuff to the fact that many times when we're in it, when we're in the heat of the battle, sometimes the battle's only a day. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it's months. Even times, sometimes it's years. You're like, man, I just... And sometimes we think now we're on crunch time. But God's saying, if you'll slow down and don't try pump the brakes, and don't try to do it yourself. If you let God begin to handle it, then you look back and say, wow, I would have made a mess. I would have went a totally different direction. I think that's why the word says His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And sometimes we pray a prayer that God say, you're just asking for something real small. He said, but let me give you a 411. In heaven, the pavement is streets of gold. What you think you need, when you get to heaven, it's going to be under your feet. Don't run after what you think is the riches. Run after the true riches of heaven. Because when you run after Him, then all of a sudden He blows your mind. And you're like, now I know why this didn't happen. And now I know why this didn't unfold. There's preachers, man, there's prophets that'll always say, you know, me and God talked and, you know, He said this, I said that, and they're like getting in a debate, and I'm like, man, many times I only get like a word. Not words, but a word. But it's that word. If you can grab a hold and grab that and say, God, I'm going to take that word and I'm going to wait. And then God opens the door and He makes a way of escape. Even though you can't even pronounce that name. Even though it makes gibberish. That's the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost to the carnal mind is gibberish. It really is. They're like, what are they doing? But see, the Lord took the most unruly member, which is your tongue. Because out of the tongue produces life or death. He took the most unruly member. And that's why He said, when you get the Holy Ghost, I'm going to take that most unruly member and I'm going to pour out My Spirit upon that. And I'm going to let you speak in an unknown tongue. You may speak in Chinese. You may speak in Japanese. But you may speak in a heavenly language. It's not for you to give the interpretation. It's God, as the Spirit gives the utterance. You want God to speak to you? Let God just dose you with the good old Holy Ghost. And you let God take control. Ooh, hallelujah. My wife was praying over here and I was talking and they said, when my wife laid her hands on her, she said, I felt fire kind of go through my back. Is that right? That's the fire of the Holy Ghost. We didn't crank up the heater. The Lord says, I'm going to crank up the Holy Ghost. And what you need is the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. I love every one of you. Thank you for being here. Let this week be an incredible week for you. Be led by the Spirit. Let God begin to open doors for you like no man can open. Amen. Tomorrow night, 6:30, we're going to be working here. So all those that can, those that you want, pray in your homes. Invite a bunch of people to pray in homes. But we're going to have work night here, 6:30, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. 6:30 tomorrow night. Hallelujah. And we'll get through. And then Tuesday night, practice 6:30. Amen. God bless every one of you. Love you. Jesus Christ, stay here as long as you like. Amen. Find two or three people love on somebody. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.